in the Bible. There's a man who walked with God.
That's a very amazing first person mentioned in the Bible that is so positive. Who walks with God? Who was he?
Enoch.
Oh, no wonder you named your son Enoch.
Yes.
Man who walked with God. So what kind of a person would walk with God? In the flesh? In the spirit? Walk with God 3 days.
300 years.
300 years. Can you imagine walking with God? Even 1 hour we had a hard time.
Sometimes
3 minutes. Sometimes only 3 minutes, my goodness. But here is a man who walked with God for 300 years. Also, can you imagine that? We don't have 300 years. Even 100 years we don't have.
Right.
How many years? How old are you now?
35.
And how many of the 35 years did you walk with God? Oh, don't answer me. He walked with God for 300 years. And what was the result?
He was raptured. God.
He was raptured. How many of us want to be raptured today? Raise your hand. What way? How can we be raptured? It's very easy to know the doctrine. We know the answer right away. Walk with God. But do we? Do we exercise, like George says, practice to walk with God? To put on the garment of righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. Many times we argue with one another and everybody thinks he is right. Right? Otherwise we won't be arguing. But if it's not Christ, everything is wrong. Paul says, Christ is our righteousness. To put on Christ is something very practical in our daily living. And it's walking with God. Everybody wants to be raptured. The first person who was raptured, who didn't taste death, is Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Simon, do we want to be raptured? Show me the way, please. How can I be raptured?
Walk with God.
Walk with God. Don't walk alone. Don't walk just by yourself. But you walk with God. We all the time depend on our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our life. Christ, who is our life, Colossians chapter 3, verse 4 says very clearly. So if we walk with God when he appears, then we will also appear with him in
glory.
I suppose you and I don't walk with God. When he appears, we will not appear with him in glory.
We will be ashamed.
Like George says, we'll be what?
Ashamed.
We'll be ashamed. put to shame. Put to shame. Walk with God. That's just another way of saying to live Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. What does it mean to live? That means everything we do, right? Whatever you do, whether you're at work, at home, with your children, playing with them, helping them, or in a church life, even when you're by yourself, you think nobody sees you, right? But in every situation, to walk with God. I think in the New Testament, nobody said it in a better way than Paul in Philippians chapter 1. For me to live is Christ. What does it mean to live, Simon? To live. How do you live? That means everything in whatever you do. Including your thinking, right? What did Paul say in Colossians chapter 3? Whatever we do, in words or in deeds, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of God our Father. This is the practicality of putting on Christ.
Amen.
That is why we have an offering called a meal offering. Meal offering refers to the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fine flour, leaven-free, without leaven. His humanity is perfect without leaven. And with frankincense, the power of resurrection, no death can infect our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He even swallowed up death. He overcame death. He rose again the third day. Paul says, I want to know him and the power of his
resurrection.
We need that. We need that. The power of his resurrection. We have so many doctrines. We all know the Lord rose from the dead the third day. So, what about our living? Are we risen with him? What did Paul write in Ephesians chapter 2? He rose alone. No?
He raised us up together with him.
Really?
Yes.
Are you risen together with him? Are you still in the grave somewhere? Even seated together with him in the heavenlies. It's not a doctrine, but it can only be realized in the Spirit, because now we are one Spirit with the Lord.
Right.
He who is joined unto the Lord is one Spirit with him. It should be a reality. Easy to know the doctrine. But in our daily living, it looks different. Putting on Christ. To serve him in the beauty of holiness. To worship him in the beauty of holiness. This is something we Christians have not practiced or exercised. This is why nothing is lasting. You bought a new car, right? How old now is your new car?
About 3 years old.
So you still have a new car?
Relatively.
As time goes by, your car becomes older. You got a new Tesla. But wait for a couple of years. It's going to be an old Tesla. No wonder Paul encouraged us to be renewed day by day. And spiritually, we shouldn't be getting older day by day.
Amen.
Be renewed.
Amen.
Day by day. Our inner man must be renewed day by day.
Yes.
Put on the new man. Even the new man must be renewed constantly. Being renewed.
Amen.
At the end of the Bible, the Lord says, "Behold, I love all things." I used to love to collect antique. Poor me. So if you want some old things, please come to my home and just carry them away. My wife always told me, "We have to get rid of those." That's right.
Right.
I have to take it away.
Hmm?
I'm the one who takes it away.
Yeah, please come and help yourself. I don't know why we love old things. Because we are in the old man. But even the new man has to be renewed. Because if you don't do that, it gets old. It gets old. We need to be renewed, especially our mind. We talk about transformation, right? In Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be transformed. How? Oh, so the renewing of the mind is very important, a very important factor of what? Transformation. Even in Ephesians 4, how can you put off the old man and put on the new man? How do you do that? What method is it, Paul? Teach us. We just heard we need to put off the old, right? Put on the new. Please give me the method to do it. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Paul didn't just say in chapter 4, right, verse 23. Put off the old man and put on the new. Too bad he's not here. If he's here, I would ask him, "Paul, how do you do that?" But Paul didn't leave us there, just hanging in the air. He said, between these two verses, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What does it mean, the spirit of your mind? Your mind has a spirit? That means the spirit has to saturate our mind, has to rule over our mind. But how do you do that? What did Romans chapter 8 says? You have to set your mind on the flesh. of the Spirit. That's in Colossians chapter 3. To set your mind on the things above. So what are you thinking every day? Your business? In Nigeria? Oh, when is my trip? Next trip to Nigeria. I know you travel very often. But we're all like this. First thing you wake up, oh, what am I going to do at work today? Oh, what about Apple? First thing that comes to your mind is Apple, not orange. If you live in Orange County, you'll be thinking about oranges. Our mind think of so many things. Our problems, our business, our work, our family. We think of so many things, but we never thought about the heavenly kingdom. The things that are above. Set your mind on things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high. So our mind is very important if we desire to be transformed and to put on Christ, to put off the old man, then our mind has to be renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Our whole being is important. Especially our mind, because our mind is very active. Right? Our mind is very active, super active. So to put on Christ, to live Christ, we need our mind to be renewed. This is a key. This is a key. Well, praise the Lord. I'm sorry. I took too much time away from Brother Muchan, right?
Next meeting.
Huh?
Next meeting.
Oh, next meeting.
Yeah,
but next meeting is almost there.
Yes. Take a short break. Then.
Take a short break, then Muchan. Okay. Sorry, Muchan. I... I robbed Muchan. I repent.